So Psalm 119, verse 161 to 168, eight verses. Every verse begins with a Hebrew word beginning with the letter Shin. In the pointed text, it's got a dot over the right side or a dot over the left side. If there's a dot over the right side, it's Shin. If there's a dot over the left side, it's Sin. So S or Sh. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one that finds great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but your law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love your law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for your salvation and done your commandments. My soul has kept your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Speak to us, we pray. Open it to us, we pray, in Jesus' name, for your glory. Amen. Amen. The whole psalm is about the word of God in its many forms. The commandments, the precepts, the judgments, the testimonies, and so on. It's all about the word of God. Do you love the word of God?
Amen.
Do you love the word of God?
Yes, amen.
Do you feed on the word of God? Praise the Lord. Has your Bible got dust on the top there? It's been on the shelf. Need to get it down, have a read. Praise the Lord. For the believer, God's word should be central.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus Christ should be central, but he is the word of God.
Yes.
This word of God is the revelation from God of all he wants us to know and to understand. When Jesus came, it was to reveal and to show the Father to us. It's the word of God, it's revelation.
Yes.
It's bringing us a knowledge of the Lord. It should be central to our lives. And God's word that we have here in the Bible, the written word of God, it's come to us by revelation of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You can read it in the New Testament, the holy men of God, they wrote as the Spirit of God moved upon them. It was God breathed.
Yes.
And as the Spirit of God carried them along, they wrote this word of God. It's God's word. It's God's word. Scholars look at it today, intellectual scholars, as though it's all been put together by the feeble efforts of men. This was something which is God-given.
That's right.
We must be persuaded about that. And written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it says in Hebrews chapter 1 that in these last days, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, various manners, spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us.
Yes.
It says in the Authorized Version, by his Son. The Greek actually says, he's spoken to us in a Son.
Yes.
That Son is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He's spoken to us in a Son.
Yes.
That's why in John chapter 1 and verse 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yes.
And that Word, as you read on in John chapter 1, is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The Word was made flesh.
Yes.
And dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. It's Jesus. The revelation of the Father, all that we need to know, we see in Jesus. He is the living Word.
Amen.
We looked on Sunday, didn't we, at that revelation, when Jesus comes again in Revelation chapter 19. And there are names written, faithful and true, a name which only he knows. King of kings and Lord of lords. But there's another name written in his vesture, the Word of God.
Yes.
It's all there in Revelation 19. He's the Word of God. There's a revelation in that name. The revelation of God, he's the Word of God. And here is our confidence. Here is our foundation. Here is our guide and direction. Keep true to the Word of God. You can know and understand the Scriptures if you know the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will delight to show the things of Christ to you, because this Word of God,
yes,
is about him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He is the Word. He's saying there, showing the things of Christ to me. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. And we should treat it as a treasure. Not the book, mine's wearing out. That's what should happen to Bibles, isn't it? They should wear out. Mine's wearing out. But the content, what's being spoken to us, we should treat it as a precious treasure. And that's what we find in this psalm. That the psalmist wants to treat the word of God, that in this particular section, where every verse starts with the letter Shin, the psalmist treasures the word of God.
Yes.
Should be treated like precious treasure. Do you know what Jesus talked about treasure? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. Apply the test. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if you look at what your heart is devoted to, that's where your treasure is.
That's right.
If it's Coronation Street, week after week, and EastEnders, and soaps are all your conversation and all that you ever talk about, that's where your treasure is. I think as we go on, we're going into the future, we can't go into the past, we're going into the future, things are going to get worse and worse.
Yeah.
Don't let a load of rubbish go in through the eye gate, into your mind, into your heart. Don't let the enemy snatch your heart away from the things of God.
Right.
You've got to be careful in this age in which we're living. Not all things are good for us. But the word of God is a treasure.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If this is your treasure, this is where you'll be reading. This is where you'll be looking. This is where you'll be communicating with the Lord. The psalmist said in the last verse of last week's message, verse 160, your word is true from the beginning. That's something we can say about the word of God today.
Yes.
This old book, this old Bible, not just this one, but what's in it, this old Bible has been true from the beginning.
Amen.
Been true from the beginning. You can read a lot of books that are rubbish.
Right.
You can read a lot of books that once were great but now aren't. But the Bible, it's as true today as it ever was. It's the truth. Your word, says the psalmist, is true from the beginning. It never fails. And we can add today, it doesn't fail today. And we can say about next week and next month and next year, if we get there, we don't know.
Yeah.
It will not fail. It's true. And this section he starts. And the word princes is the first word in the Hebrew as well. Princes. But princes doesn't mean royalty.
No.
Princes in Hebrew, the word that's translated princes, means anybody that's a leader,
a ruler,
a governor, a captain. We've got lots of people in our society that are such people. They might be councillors, they might be members of parliament, they might be a boss, whatever. And the psalmist is saying, princes have persecuted me without a cause. Here he is. And what's he experiencing? Those in leadership are against him. We find it more and more today, from the government, from what's going on in our society. There's going to be times of oppressing those who stand for the truth. We find it almost visible today.
Yeah.
There might come a time when we're not allowed to speak the truth in Pitsy Market.
Sure.
Just because we're not allowed to do it doesn't mean to say we won't do it.
Yeah.
But we can proclaim the truth. I mean, I have proclaimed things in Pitsy Market in the past, which nowadays they would take you away and arrest you for.
Yeah.
Just declaring the word of God. What God says is an abomination to him.
Yes.
Stand on the street and say it today, and you'll find that people will protest.
Yes.
And things are going to get worse. And the psalmist was finding that living for God made him an object of persecution of those that had leadership over him. Governors, princes, he calls them here, but governors, leaders, captains, whatever they were. I'm so glad that in the middle of that verse there's a but. But my heart stands in awe of your word.
Yeah.
It doesn't stand in awe of them, in all their power, and all that's available to them.
That's right.
But my heart stands in awe of the word of God. I'm not going to be driven off course by them. And there is a time now, and there is a time coming, when we have got to decide now that when that time comes, we will stand firm and not be driven aside by those that would try to persecute us. To say, you can't do that. There might be times of difficulty ahead of us, but you stand in awe of God's word. If you stand in awe of God's word, you will do what God's word says. You will follow it, because you know God's word will never fail. Don't fear man, but have that awe, that fear of respect for the word of God. That whatever the word of God says, we do. Sounds difficult, doesn't it? Sounds hard. Sounds a tough ask. But the psalmist says, no. I stand in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word. There's always rejoicing in the word of God. You see, if we're standing on the word of God, and we are backed by the word of God, the outcome can only be, in the end, for us, joy and rejoicing. You say, is that so? Yeah, you read about the apostles. You read about those in the New Testament that suffered persecution. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer persecution for the name of Jesus. He says, I rejoice at your word, in verse 162, as one that finds great spoil. What a treasure! Is the word of God still fresh to you today? Is it still fresh to you today? Is it still a treasure? Or is it a boring old book that, oh, I've got to do my daily reading? Don't come to the Bible like that. Oh, I've got to do my daily reading. Settle down with the word of God. Settle down with it. Be comfortable with it. Read it. Enjoy it. Be blessed. Chew it over. Read it again. Savour it. People who dump their food down don't really enjoy their food. They don't have time to taste it. Chew it over. Chew the word of God. Savour it. Rejoice. In Psalm, in verse 162, it's not, what shall we call it, a petrified obedience. Must do as I'm told. But it's rejoicing in God's word. It's our delight. For in the word of God, in this risen word of God, Christ is revealed. They always used to say, it's something that goes back to Augustine apparently, that in the old Christ is concealed, in the new he is revealed. But if you read the Old Testament with your New Testament eyes, Christ is revealed all the way through.
The mystery of Christ.
Hallelujah. There's the revelation of Jesus. There's guidance. There's direction. There's food. There's light. There's life.
Glory.
We're going to be like the man, the psalmist, in Psalm 1. It's a lovely psalm to start the psalms with, isn't it? Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He said, he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Oh, the word of God. The word of God. You know, the word of God is so precious to us and should be. The word of God was precious to Jesus, who is the word of God. But this written word was precious to Jesus.
Amen.
In Psalm 40, and this is quoted of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 10. In Psalm 40, and verse 8, it says this, then said I, this is the Lord, it's Jesus.
Right.
Read Hebrews 10, where it's quoted and it's explained. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight
yes.
to do your will, O God. Yes, your law is within my heart. It's the word of God. It's Jesus. If Jesus was so guided and directed and fed and nourished and uplifted by the word, the actual word of God, the law of God, what about us? It'd be our delight. Again, in verse 92 of this Psalm 119, he says, unless your law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction.
Right.
You see, he's under persecution here. The princes are persecuting.
Yeah.
He's afflicted. But he says, because your laws are my delight, because your law is my delight, I don't perish. I don't sink. I've not perished in my affliction because I delight in your word. He rejoices. It's a treasure. It's a wonderful treasure. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, all that we have concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the revelation of his word says, we have this treasure
Amen.
In earthen vessels.
Yes.
It's beyond our understanding how it could be, but it's a treasure. And we ask ourselves a question, and I ask you the question tonight, What are you doing with this treasure? What are you doing with this treasure? With this great spoil? It shouldn't be stuck on the shelf permanently. And as we read the Word of God, we can listen and hear the voice of God, the Word of God,
yes,
as the Lord speaks to us and ministers to us by the power of His Holy Spirit. In verse 163, you see, the love that we have for this Word of God, God's Word, Jesus said this in John 17, God's Word is truth.
Yes.
Jesus said, Father, and He's praying for us as well as His disciples, He's praying for us who should come to believe,
yes,
through their testimony, through their witness. He said, sanctify them, set them apart to You, Lord.
Yes.
Sanctify them by Your truth.
Yes.
Your Word is truth.
Amen.
You know, as we get that Word of God in our hearts, it sets us apart to Him.
Yes.
It draws us closer to Him. Hallelujah.
Thank You, Lord.
Oh, what revelation we can receive as we love God's Word with the system around us, the enemy system around us. What a contrast. What a contrast we see there in the devil's system, in Satan's system. There is lying and lies. What do you expect? Jesus said, Satan is the father of lies. He's a liar from the beginning.
Yes.
And all around, He says in verse 163, I hate and abhor lying. But Your law,
yes,
Your law, do I love. You see, this is why we've really got to examine our walk in these dark days in which we're living. Christianity and the evangelical churches and Pentecostal churches have gone through an era of what I call easy believism. What you were saying on the other day, you pick and choose.
Yes.
You pick the nice bits. You pick the sugary bits, but you don't want the other bits. There's a whole package. And the package comes with the abhorrence of the world for the things of God. But I want to be popular with everybody. Well, you won't be. You can't stand for Christ and feed on His Word and expect the world system to love you,
yes,
and appreciate you. It's against God, because the world system is Satan's system.
Yes.
It's built on lies. The whole system is built on lies.
Yes.
Everything. You know yourself, don't you? All the adverts and things that are promised you. It's lies. The junk food that you can absorb from that one-eyed monster in the corner of the room, if you let it pour out its filth and corruption and lies, you know, you need to be in control of the switch. I do believe that. Sometimes from bitter experience in the past, you know, when you've seen those things in the past, what damage it does,
yeah,
to your heart and to your mind. It leads you astray from the pathway that God wants you to lead. We have to check the priority. What the world wants to feed us with, or what God has to feed us with. You know, the world system, as I said, is under the influence and the domination of the God of this age.
Yes.
So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, if our gospel is hid,
yes,
it is hid to them that are lost. The God of this age,
yes,
has blinded the minds of them that do not believe. You see, that's what the God of this age has done. Through all the things that are available in our society, He's blinded their minds,
yes,
to the gospel and the truth of God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, it says that he, Satan, is the prince of the power of the air.
Yeah.
He's the persecutor. He's the persecutor. For believers today, he is the persecutor.
Yeah.
You know, they say that if everything's going lovely and Satan's not giving you any trouble, it's because you're on the wrong pathway. He doesn't mind you being on the wrong pathway. As soon as you get on the right pathway, then you'll find a bit of opposition. It says in Revelation that he is the accuser of the brethren.
Yes.
He is a liar. Jesus said there is no truth in him. John chapter 8 verse 44. There is no truth in him. He is a liar and the father of it.
Yes.
And the psalmist said, I hate and abhor lying in all its forms. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, God cannot lie. God's word is truth.
Amen.
God cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. He made those promises to Abraham. It's impossible for God to lie. Same with the psalmist. Say with the psalmist, your law do I love. Your law do I love. And because he loves God's law, he knows a perfect joy and a perfect peace. Seven times a day do I praise you. That idea of seven is a number of completeness. His whole day is taken up, in other words, with completeness. Seven times a day do I praise you because of your righteous judgments. You see, where there's lying, there's misery. In the presence of God, in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Seven times a day do I praise you because of your righteous judgments. All the day long, he's praising the Lord. Great peace have they which love your law, and nothing shall offend them. He praises the Lord because of his righteous judgments. It's that word, judgments, is that word mishpat in Hebrew, which we've come across before. We keep coming back to it. God's mishpat.
That's right.
Is God's judgment on every action, everything. That's right, that's wrong. Amen. And if we're guided by him, God says, that's right, that's wrong. Amen. And we do what he says. God's judgments are righteous judgments. God's decisions are righteous decisions. And seven times a day do I praise you because of your righteous judgments, your guidance, every day, every moment of the day.
Amen.
God's word guides us in life. And we have great peace. Great peace have they which love your law. Do you know that peace of God? Do you know there's no peace in the world? There's no peace in the world. There's no peace in watching some of the stuff that comes up on the television. Some of those programs that are full of vile rubbish and supposed to be representing what people go through in life. You know, Coronation Street. I'm not picking on Coronation Street. But what about the other? What's the other one? EastEnders. And all of them. What happens is you suffer from vicarious stress, worry, anxiety. You're going through things that you don't need to go through. Somebody's getting killed, somebody's getting murdered, somebody's being raped or something like that,
yeah.
On these terrible things, and you are going through the anxious. It's not really happening, it's make-believe, it's pretend, but you're there with them as if it's really happening, and you're going through the stress and the worry and the anxiety. And what's going to happen tomorrow? I'll see you tomorrow, because he's going to get killed, he's going to get run over. It doesn't do you any good. God shows us what's right and what's wrong. See, you don't know the peace of God unless you're walking with him and living in his word. Great peace. Isaiah 57 verse 21 says, there is no peace, says God, says my God, to the wicked. 59 verse 8 says, the way of peace they have not known.
That's right.
And then it says, in Isaiah 59 verse 8, there is no judgment in their goings. There is no mishpat.
Yes.
In their goings. There's no one to tell them what's right and what's wrong.
Right.
They've made them crooked paths. Whosoever goes in therein shall not know peace, it says there. But the psalmist says, great peace have they, which love your law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall be a stumbling block to them.
Right.
To trip them up. That's what the word means. Do you know what the word of God says in Isaiah 26 to verse 3? It's a lovely verse, everyone knows it. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. There's the place of perfect peace. It's in the Lord. It's in our Heavenly Father. The last couple of verses, three verses, the last three verses are about keeping God's word. Let's keep God's word. There are two senses to this word keep. In verse 166, he says, Lord, I have hoped for your salvation and done, in other words, kept, that's what the word means, your commandments. It means that I've kept your commandments in the sense I've obeyed them, I've done them.
Yes.
My soul has kept your testimonies. I have hoped for your salvation and done your commandments. There's obedience there. You see, in the first epistle of John, chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, and verses 4 and 5, he says this, he that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Yeah.
See, we can only do what he tells us to do when we're in him. Whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, and hereby know we that we are in him.
Yes.
He enables us, he empowers us to do his will. And then in 3:24 of 1 John, 3 verse 24, he that keeps his commandments dwells in him,
yes,
and he in him. There's a mutual indwelling. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which is given to us. And 1 John 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of God does not sin, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one does not touch him.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The new birth is a new life, free from sin. Hallelujah. The old nature, that's the one we have the problem with.
Yeah.
We have to reckon it dead.
It keeps popping up.
We have to reckon it dead. We're living in the new. The new life, the new creation doesn't sin.
Yes.
Just knock the old creation on the head. You're crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. You've been dealt with. Praise the Lord. 167. My soul has kept your testimonies. A different word kept here in Hebrew. The first one, we said, and I've done your commandments. It's a word which does mean keep. I've kept your commandments. I've obeyed them. This one here, my soul has kept your testimonies. It means I've hedged about your testimonies. I'm protecting them. I'm guarding them. I'm safeguarding them. I think that's where the Pharisees got the idea. They had to build a hedge around the law,
yes,
so you couldn't break the law. But that's not what this scripture is about. It's about standing up for God's word,
yes,
and defending God's word. I've kept your testimonies. I've protected them. I love them. I cherish them and love them exceedingly. And in verse 168, it says the same word. I have kept your precepts. I've guarded. I've hedged about your precepts. I've protected them and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Lord, you know my going out and my coming in. All my ways are before you. I've kept your law, I've obeyed your law, I've done your, what you say. I've protected and stood and guarded it. And when it's being abused, I've stood for it and defended it.
Amen.
We've got to stand for the word of God these days, you know.
Amen.
And all my ways are before you. My going out and my coming in. I'm going to conclude with Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 12 and 13. Might be a bit beyond that as well. Hebrews chapter 4, and verses 12 and 13. Here it is. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tested like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He knows our goings out and our comings in. He's watching over us. And he knows that as we love his word and cherish his word and defend his word, he will enable us to live by it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.